I'm Dermot McIntyre, this is Cultural Passions, and we're at the Lime Tree Theatre in Limerick City. And we're joined by three theatre makers who've had a central role in the theatrical life of Limerick City and County over recent decades.
Hi, I'm Miles Breen. I'm an actor, director and writer. I'm from Limerick and I'm based here in Limerick, and I'm a member of Bottom Dog Theatre Company.
I'm John Sheehy. I'm the co-founder of Callback Theatre and current artist in residence at Friars Gate Theatre Kilmallock.
I'm Joan Sheehy. I'm an actor and director and producer and sometimes script advisor. I'm from Grana, County Limerick, based in Dublin. Over the past number of years, I've produced a number of shows in Limerick.
We're here in the auditorium of the Lime Tree Theatre.
Fabulous, a new venue, a great addition to Limerick's cultural life. It's based in Mary Immaculate College. Fabulous big stage, great facilities, and also the seats are incredibly comfortable, which is always very nice. There's not a bad seat in this house, and even though it's a big space, it still feels very intimate.
I'm guessing it wasn't in a place like this that you guys first saw theatre.
The first place I think that I ever saw theatre was in the Parish Hall in Charleville. I saw The Year of the Hiker. I was quite young and my cousin was in it, and I was so swept away because she got married in it and she came back and her husband in the play brought her over the threshold in his arms, and I was hooked.
I suppose the first place I ever saw anything was the Crescent, and also the old Savoy Theatre, which was fabulous. And even the foyer was really glam. Also, the auditorium was really sort of magical because it had these sort of castle effects around the walls. I think it was about 1,000-seater.
I guess I was a bit late to the game. I think I was in early 20 before I saw my first show in the theatre. And it would have been with the local amateur drama group, the Hillside Players in Arpatrick. I just went along mostly because there's people I knew play acting and I wanted to just look at them and probably laugh at them. But I was quite taken by it. So I was back the following year, working backstage.
Miles, when you were saying about that magic of the Savoy, what was that like going in as a child?
Well, as I said, we were brought there to see big shows, because it was a huge stage. When you're a kid, it's that whole thing of, oh, I'm going out at night. This is really grown up. But my ticket and I have my seat and I'll have my ice cream at the break. So there was always that sense of an event. Going to the theatre was a treat. It was something very exciting. And it was also, it was sort of grown-up stuff.
When I was in secondary school, I remember seeing a production of Deirdre of the Sorrows. And I was so involved in it all. I saw every performance. I'd be crying when Deirdre would be saying, you know, little moon of Alban, how lonely you'll be tonight, you know. And I thought, I want to be the person who's saying that to see if I can have the effect on the audience. I want to be part of this excitement.
So, John, for you, you went along, as you said, to laugh at your fellow members of the parish up on stage. What changed?
As I say, I went back to work backstage. The following year, they gave me a small part. The year after that, a bigger part. And the year after that, they asked me to direct, which was lunacy because I had no idea what I was doing. But the best way to learn anything is to jump in at the deep end, and if it doesn't kill you, you learn a lot from it.
And Joan, for you, where does that move from watching Deirdre of the Sorrows saying, I could be saying those words? How did you start saying those words?
There was one teacher who was teaching speech and drama, and we were doing this poem, The Boy Remembers His Father. We were doing it in kind of posh accents, you know, and trying to sound like we weren't ourselves. And she was saying, well, think about the story you're trying to tell. Think about this boy and the father and his feet going through the grass and the sound of the swish of his feet through grass. And that opened up a kind of a world of performance to me, like that performance was connected to your own experience and could be connected to your own rural experience even, that plays or poems weren't about people in fancy houses, in fancy clothes with posh accents. And that, I think, was the most revelatory moment. This feels so different when you connect yourself to what you're saying.
Before we go up on the stage itself, I think we've best go to that intermediary ground where you transform from that audience member, from that ordinary Joe Public, into that star of the stage. I had to move my hand there as I looked at Miles, and a sort of star of the stage. So we'll head into the dressing room. So you know your way around here, Miles.
I do indeed.
We're just passing the green room.
Some actors prefer to stay in their dressing room before they go on stage, and other actors then just hang out in the green room, have teas and coffees and stuff like that. It depends, really.
We've come into the dressing room here in the Lime Tree Theatre. I'm joined by Miles Breen, Joan Sheehy and John Sheehy as we explore their passion for theatre and especially maybe their passion for theatre in Limerick. Those light bulbs around the mirror that we're seeing here in the dressing room, that's probably the archetypal image of a dressing room. Why do we have all these light bulbs?
You'll find if you turn on just the main light, when you're looking in the mirror, you know, you'll get shadows and you won't be able to see yourself properly. Whereas when you have those little lamps on, they give you some idea of the amount of light that will be on your face. So I know it now it looks glamorous, but actually there is a point to it.
Not all dressing rooms are like this. I mean, there is that sort of myth of, look, the glamour of the theatre, but a lot of the glamour of the theatre is saved for the stage.
And John, mostly what you're known for is as a playwright and a director. Is it hard to let go as the writer of the play?
I like to direct my own work, but in the rehearsal room, I can just let the writer beside me go, concentrate on directing. It's the job of the director, I think, to facilitate ownership of the work from the writer to the actors, definitely. I mean, actors have to own it.
Count me down in that process of transforming yourself from Joan Sheehy to whoever you're going to be on that stage.
Like, I'd like to be in an hour beforehand, you know, so that you come, if the show is at 8, you'd come in around 7 and you have a chat. And then from about 20 past 7 on, it starts to get a little bit scary because you're really thinking about your performance and costume, makeup, hair. That's all happening. And that, in a way, is a great ritual. Like, you're glad sometimes to see, you know, somebody pop their head in. But, like, really, you don't want the director around. And the last person you want is the writer. It's your play for the next couple of hours. And I'd have to say from about 7:45 on, I wouldn't be feeling great. And I might go to the loo about 6 times between that and 7:55.
It does depend on the play, depending on what you're doing. When I'm doing pantomime, it's sort of more, you just want to get your energy up. You want to be a bit hyper. You want to be... So there's quite a lot of banter and joking and stuff like that. Whereas with a more serious play, you sort of go a little bit quieter and just sort of go through your lines in your head.
Then you're standing by backstage usually for 5 to 10 minutes. And I love that time because it's kind of dark. You can hear the audience coming in. You can't be chit-chatty. You can have the odd whisper. And I think that's actually my favourite time because you're so nervous in one sense and yet you know, the process has started and you can hear people coming in. It's like some kind of twilight. I love those moments backstage before the show starts.
Let's go up there and let's go onto the edge of that stage and feel what it must be like. At the moment, we're behind black curtains. It's off to the side of the stage. And the stage itself is that big, huge, empty space. But often in little theatres around the country, these spaces are tiny.
You can hear the audience and you know the job you have to do. But there is that moment, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can remember the lines. One of the toughest jobs I ever did was a one-man show, which I had written. It was called Language on Becoming a Lady, about a drag queen. I sort of had nowhere to hide because, one, if they didn't like the performance, well, I could blame the actor. The actor was terrible. And if they didn't like the play, I could blame the writer. Oh, but the writing wasn't that great. I did my best with it. I had nowhere to hide on that because if they didn't like it, they pretty much just didn't like me. And it was that moment of, why did I ever think I could do this?
And John, when it's your first night and it's a play that you've written yourself and it's going out there, what do you do?
The first big show that I wrote and directed myself, Set in Stone, I just kind of went to pieces opening night. I think really it was just suddenly, as the show went up, I realised I had nothing to do and could do nothing. I think all the stresses that the actors have pre-performance, sometimes you get an opportunity to express them and leave them go on stage. Whereas I just, that opening night, just the whole thing just came crashing over me and I was like, kapoomf. The second night, the stage manager sent me home. He said, you're not watching it tonight. You're not helping.
That terrible walk, which Miles would know as well, and John, where you have to walk on in like semi-darkness, position yourself, and then have a mini heart attack. Any second the lights are going to come up now and it's up to me to start it.
So we're coming out now into the centre of an absolutely massive stage here at the Lime Tree Theatre. It's a scary sight looking at all those seats from here.
it's sort of scary, but really exhilarating at the same time. There is that, ooh, look at them, they're looking at me. And on the stage, you're in charge of all that. There is that tremendous sense of power, I suppose, from standing on a stage and looking out at that sight.
Do you engage with that audience when you're performing, or do you come into yourself?
Again, it depends on the play. I mean, a pantomime is completely at the audience. You're constantly at them. You're constantly engaging them. But then other plays, we did a production of What Happened, Bridget Cleary by Tom McIntyre recently, which is completely internal. Even though we were in a very small space and people were very close to you, you just didn't see them because you were in the world of the play and sort of cocooned within that.
I'd say one thing about audiences, I mean, there's a standard of excellence that you expect and from professional theatre and invariably get when you have good actors. But there's a certain magic that doesn't always happen every night and it can't happen every night. It's that moment when the audience, they do feel like one and they're in that moment and the actors are in that same moment. That's when the magic is really in the air.
What is it that makes theatre so special for you?
The rehearsal room, what goes on in a rehearsal room, the exploration, the discoveries, the, oh my God, I never thought that that could work like that or he would feel like that. And that whole world of discovery for me is just still exciting and I don't think I'll ever be bored with it.
I like finding a way of telling a story, maybe a story that's known, but trying to tell it in a different way or tell it in a different place that'll open it up, maybe take a play, put it on in a different space. And I like all that planning and all those kind of possibilities and that feeling that maybe this is the time, you know, that you'll put something on and it will have that connection, that really wow connection with an audience.
I think we're chasing something. Just there are moments I've experienced it as an audience member watching shows and hopefully shows I work on, just moments that feel almost more real than reality. It's quite eerie, but it's worth pursuing, whatever it is.